It's God's will for you is to be free. God's will for you is to be free. James chapter 1, verse 12 through verse 18, six verses, has an amazing truth in it. It basically tells us how we got into this mess and how we're going to get out of this mess. Now, as long as you blame somebody else for the mess in which you're living, I don't have much hope for you getting out of it. So if you're blaming your mom or your dad or your aunt or your uncle or your brother or your sister or the church, if you're blaming society, if you're blaming the devil made me do it, get over yourself. It's yours. It's you. You the problem. But we have a hope. We have a hope. So James chapter 1, verse 12, he says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Now, we ought to shout on that verse, right? He says, and I'm not preaching yet. I just want to throw out a couple. Give me time. Blessed is the person who endures temptation. Jesus endured temptation. I've got a feeling you've been through a few things of temptation. So you're blessed if you go through temptation. If you go through it, right? Not if you succumb to it, but if you go through it, you're blessed, because there's a day coming when you're going to receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to us. Heaven is real. Heaven is real. And so is hell. My old Pentecostal days are coming back to my mind. There's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain. Amen. Some people think that life is hell. You don't have a clue. Life is not hell. Hell is a place that I don't even want to get close to. You know, the crown of life, it's just a little extra. You know, 18 years ago today, this very day, my mother went home to be with the Lord. 18 years she's been in heaven. The Bible says to leave this body is to be instant with the Lord. 18 years she's got to enjoy the presence of God, to worship at His throne. I'm about to shout. I'm a little bit envious. He says, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth the death. Do not be deceived, my brethren, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits for his creatures." Father God, we just come before you today, and Lord, we have already felt the presence of the Spirit of God. And we worship you, we love you, and we understand that you are our all and in all. God, we're so thankful that you reached down and that you saved us. Any good in us, Lord, it's because of you. God, I pray today that this would be a service that people would be set free. God, that we will be delivered from darkness. All darkness. We will be delivered from life's controlling habits. God, that you would set us free today indeed. Lord, we worship you. I pray that you move by your Spirit and that every heart and every ear is attentive, Lord, not to my voice, but to your voice. May the Spirit of the Lord speak through me. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God's will for you is to be free. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, "The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds." A stronghold is something that you've had for a long time in your life. Possibly a sin, a problem. You know, we don't like to call things sin anymore, do we? You know, it's a. I was talking to my brother the other day, and he was talking about this man that had an affair. No longer is it an affair, it's an indiscretion. Well, he had an indiscretion. No, he had an affair. He's a sinner. He needs to repent, right? Until we start identifying and calling things by the real name, are we going to deal with it? I think we've just got to say, okay, enough is enough. So a stronghold in your life is something that's been there for a while. It's something that you have tolerated. And now it's like got a grip on you. And it actually, you'll listen to it and it will control you. So whatever it is, it could be the way you were brought up. It could be a sin that you indulged in as a child and all of a sudden it got a hold of you. See, Satan told you, hey, you can enjoy this for a little while. What he didn't tell you is that this problem is going to take hold of your life. And it will not let you go, and you're going to hate yourself in the end. Such as alcoholism. How many kids think it's cool when you're 14, 15, 16 years old to start drinking beer? Satan never tells them at the end that you're going to get up in the morning looking for that. You're not going to be satisfied until you get that in your system. It's a controlling problem. And Christians love to talk about things that don't really affect us. Hey, let's talk about the prostitutes and the drug addicts and the alcoholics. Let's not talk about gossipers. Let's not talk about people that overeat. Let's not talk about people that have to go shopping to get a thrill. He says something, he says, don't be deceived. John Bevere says, the problem with deception is it's so deceiving. Most people that are deceived don't know they're deceived. But anytime you see in Scripture where it says, don't be deceived, you need to mark that in your Bible. Because he has given you a warning that there is going to be great deception over this. Over this truth that I just talked to you about, there's great deception in the land. Everybody wants to blame everyone else for their problems, and no one wants to say, I did that. All temptation is to get you to believe a lie. When Satan tempted Eve to sin, it was to say, hey, Eve, you can't trust him. You cannot trust the things that God has told you. He's not really good. He's really evil. And those things that he says you shouldn't do is not for your good. It's because he's afraid you might be mightier than him. That you're going to know just like he knows everything. And all of a sudden in Eve's mind she thought, well, maybe there's something better out there. Maybe he is lying to me. Satan tempted her, just as he does us. Folks, it's disturbing to me that Satan could slip into a perfect environment where there is no sin and tempt a woman and she falls to it. And then her husband takes it. Now, he was not deceived according to the New Testament. He knew what he was getting into. If Satan could tempt Eve to sin in the Garden of Eden, what do you think he's doing today in our world? Satan came to Jesus and he tempted him to sin. And if you read that story, so I think it's in three of the Gospels, at least three. And he says, if you are the Son of God. If? He's talking to Jesus. If you really are the Son of God, do this, do that. I don't have to prove myself to anyone, Jesus. You know, he just come back with the word. He overcame because he knew the truth. Do you know the truth today? Jesus knew who he was. He knew what his authority was. And he knew his destiny. I hope you know. We need to realize that everything good comes from the Father above. Verse 17. Every good and perfect gift. Now you would think that's simple enough, right? That's simple enough. Good things come from the Father. Bad things come from the devil. But the world don't get it. Every time there's a disaster in the world, they look to Jesus. They say, how could God allow this? Why would God allow such a disaster? Why does God allow people to shoot people? People to kill people? Why does God put up with that? And it's a strange answer. He does it because he loves us. We have brought sin into the world, not him. And he could stop it all like that. Why doesn't Jesus come back today? Because of his love for mankind. Because there's someone else out there that needs to find him. He's extremely patient. I love how John 10, the book, the chapter, the whole chapter, John chapter 10. Now we quote 10, verse 10 all the time. Satan has come to kill, steal, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it to the fullest. But that whole chapter is good. Well, matter of fact, this whole book is pretty good. You know, y'all try reading it once in a while. He starts off in chapter 10 and verse 1. He says, I'm the door. I can remember when I first started studying that, I thought that's the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard in my life. Can you imagine going to someone and introducing yourself? Hey, Larry, I'm a door. And Larry would think, you're a brick shy is what you are. He says, I'm the door. In other words, I am the gateway. I am the entrance point to everything good. You want to know what good is? You must come through the door of salvation. And Jesus said, I am he. I am that door. I want to unlock and I want to open the greatest things that you could ever imagine on earth. And it all starts with me. And he goes on, and a little bit later in that chapter, he says, and I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. A shepherd takes care of his sheep. A shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. A shepherd leads his sheep wherever they need to go, whatever they... Sheep don't work for anything. They're just led. Probably the dumbest animal on the earth. And God says, oh, by the way, you are the sheep of my pasture. Got a lot of confidence in us. Satan came to kill, steal, and destroy. And we all think of that as being physically. And I believe this. I believe the very first thing that Satan wants to steal is the Word of God. You see, if he can steal the Word of God from you, he's got your foundation. If he's got your foundation, be careful. Because everything can crack and break up if the foundation is not good. We're a little careless as Christians of how we view the Word of God. How willingly we're to consider that maybe it's not right. Well, maybe that's not exactly what he meant. I got news for you. I ain't tolerating that. I'm not going to listen to you. If you want to tell me what part of the Word of God is anointed and what part is not, you're saying, hey, trust me. Trust me more than God. I don't think so. It's either all from him or it's not from him. And I just believe it's all from him. Every word, I will stand upon it. That's so incredibly important. So the devil wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your life. Your very existence. Your influence. Your children. Your health. Everything about you. You have an enemy. You have an enemy. About half of the church world don't even believe the devil exists. I'm pretty sure he does the happy dance over that one. Oh, they don't even believe I'm real. I can just do what I want to do in their life. I got news for you. He's real. He's real. How he destroys your life, this scripture tells us. He uses your desires. He uses you. And he says, hey, don't you like money? Hey, don't you like fun? Hey, don't you like this? Don't you like that? Look what I'll give you. You just remember this. Satan's not a giver. He's a taker. I used to had a guy that worked for me one time. He was always teasing, always telling fibs. And I used to tell him, I said, you know how I can tell you're lying? And he'd say, how? And I said, your lips are moving. Because everything he said, it was a lie. I mean, he just always lied. But he was a pleasant guy. Well, that's the same way with the devil. If his lips are moving, he's lying to you. And we need to distinguish the voice of the devil very clear. Now, all of us want to hear the voice of God. And we listen a whole lot to our voice. But you need to know when the devil is talking to you. I can't tell you how many people that I tell them this. You're listening to the wrong voice. When you look in the mirror and you hear the words, you're a loser, that's the wrong voice. That's not God's voice. If you hear this, hey, you can do this and nobody ever find out. I got news for you. That's not Jesus. He uses your desires and entices you. And all of us have desires. And desires is not a wicked thing. Because God plants desires in us. Matter of fact, he says, I will give you the desires of your heart. How can God say that? Because as you get to know him, he changes the desires of your heart. How many people have been saved for a while and you can say, the desires of my heart have totally changed? When I was young, all I wanted to do was make money. I didn't even want to get married because I knew that was going to cost me. I lasted to 19, bless God. Led astray by my own desires. No. It's a good thing. The devil's a tempter. It's not God. He is so clear in this. Don't you think that God is tempting you? We misquote this stuff all the time. See, God will test you, but He will never tempt you. A temptation is to lead you astray, to lead you into something you don't need to be. A test is to establish who you are. He purifies you many times by letting you go through a test, a fire. In 1 Peter 5:8, Peter says this. He said, "Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." He is like a lion. He is not a lion. He's like a lion. He will tear you apart. This whole picture in James is a picture of childbirth. It talks about conception. It talks about birth. And to be really honest, it's actually a picture of a stillborn baby. Probably one of the worst things that can happen. When you get pregnant, you get excited about this child God has blessed us with. I said the other day, I said, it's like the woman immediately falls in love. As soon as she finds out that there's a baby inside of her, she falls in love with that. I think it takes the man a little while. He comes along a little bit later. But that woman has 9 months of nurturing this thing inside of her. You'll never convince her that's not a baby. She knows that's a child. God told Jeremiah, "Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you." Hey, let's get it right. Abortion is murder. It's murder. That's a baby. Call it what you wish. It's a baby. But I got good news. If you've ever had an abortion, you got a baby waiting for you in heaven that will greet you and love you. Bless the Lord. God can take the worst of things and make the best of things for Him. And there's forgiveness for you. A couple hours away in Nashville, Tennessee, there's a man that pastors the church that when he was 18 years old, he killed a woman, about decapitated her. Pastors a great church. There's forgiveness after murder. Satan tempts us by using our own lust. We're enticed. We start flirting with sin. We start thinking about it. Well, what would that be like? Oh, man, I think I would have a good time. Whatever that temptation is. Yours may be different than mine. I'm not tempted by alcohol. I'm not tempted with drugs. I've never opened the door to it. But there's some of you in this place today, that's a major temptation to you. You have got to shun the appearance of evil. You must stay away from those things. But we all have those draws in our, and Satan draws you with what tempts you. And then there's conception. Conception is you bit it. You took it. He's fishing. And all of a sudden, you bit. Now he's got a hold in your life. It's called sin. And you may enjoy it for a little while. But I just want you to know the guy holding the pole is Satan himself. You may think you're doing your own thing. I'm my own man. I make my own decisions. Until Satan jerks on that reel just a little bit. Do what? Go where? And then all of a sudden, you will be led by the thing that you thought was so wonderful. Conceived. And it says, you will give birth. The thing that you're flirting with, will give birth, and it brings forth death. Man, I wish that we could see the end of the picture. How many people would like to go back a few years and change some decisions you made when you were young? Man, if I knew then what I know now, I certainly wouldn't have done that. Well, he sent a loudmouth preacher to tell you today, wise up, because if you can fog a mirror, you can still sin. You can still be enticed and you can still conceive. And it's time we wise up in the church house and realize there is no good sin. Sin is missing the mark. And if you realize God's got a destiny for me, and sin is going to make me miss that destiny, God has a path for each and every one of us. And on that path is everything good. And Satan's doing his dead level best to get you off the path or to get you where you'll never find the path of God. Says we're brought forth. Of his own will, he brought us forth. God's got a plan to get you out of the mess that you're in. I love the word, and I believe it's in Ephesians. Talks about what a mess that we're in before Jesus. And then the next verse starts off with two words. But God. I am so thankful that there's a but God in my past. The Lord intercepted, came into my life. He's delivered me. If your life is filled with confusion and chaos, the Lord wants to deliver you. And I've got news for you. I'm not just talking to sinners today. I'm talking to saints. I'm talking to people that would stand up in a heartbeat and say, I love Jesus with all my heart. There's people that have committed their ways to God, and yet they've got this stronghold in their life where the devil's got his hand around their neck, strangling the life of God out of you. And even though you're supposed to be controlled by Jesus, the truth is you're really still being controlled by this sin. And I thank God that there can be a day of deliverance for you. I don't believe we're supposed to be held captive to anything except for Him. John chapter 8, verse 12, he says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Child of God, are there some dark areas in your life? Ephesians 5, 8, he says, you were once darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed unto us the kingdom of the Son of his love. Romans says that sin has no dominion over me. That's sometimes a hard pill to swallow. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 and 5. Now this is specifically talking about the rapture. He says, but you, brethren, are not in the darkness, so that this day should not overtake you as a thief. You're sons of light and sons of the day. We're not of the night, nor of the darkness. So we know how we get into this mess. We get into the mess because we are enticed by our own sin. By our own desires, Satan entices us and we bite. But how are we going to get out of it? I love this verse. This verse evoked this whole sermon. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth. The way you're going to get out of it is by standing on the word of truth. That's why Satan is out to steal the word from you. God's got a lot of things to say. Peter says that we're healed. Past tense. We're healed by his stripes. We're saved. He would prosper the work of our hands. What part of Scripture are you willing to give up on? What part are you saying, you know, I just don't understand this, so it can't be exactly right? Oh, because you can't understand it, it might not be truth, huh? Maybe we ought to investigate a little bit more. Of the word of truth, we're delivered. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus begins to quote the prophet Isaiah, and he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor." The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. You don't have to be poor any longer. I have come to pay that price for you. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. John chapter 8, he says, "If you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Pastor R used to always say, it's not the truth you know, it's the truth you do that sets you free. I always wondered, where does he get that? The word believe to us means I accept it mentally. The word believe to the Jews meant I not only accept it mentally, I will do it. It's the word you put into action that's going to set you free. 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. Not one or two. Every one of them. Anything controlling your life? You know, when we first got married, I just noticed that some days I just woke up in a bad mood. There's just a bad spirit about me. And I just wanted to fight. And it didn't really matter who. I could fight with one of the kids, or I could fight with Treva, or I could fight with anybody, but I was ready to fight. And I wondered, why am I like this? Why is there so much anger in me? I grew up fighting. I've told you before, I got spanked in almost every year of school. I was an angel. Why is there so much anger in me? I would fly off the handle. I'd punch somebody. I didn't think it was real godly. I got saved at 7 years old. And yet I had all this anger inside of me. I can remember praying so much, God, take this away. Take this anger away from me. I don't want to be that person. Guys, it took years. And I'm not telling you I never get mad. I still get mad occasionally, but I'm not the person I used to be. I'm just not that person. What are you putting up with? What are you tolerating that's not God's will for you? You really think God wants you to die with lung cancer because you smoked for 50 years? I don't think that's God's best. I don't think God wants you to be controlled by a pill bottle or a bottle full of juice. Matter of fact, we call it spirits. That ought to be a clue. I only want to be controlled by Him. He says, I'm doing all this because I want you to be a type of first fruit. In other words, I want the world to see in you my goodness. I want the world to see in you my grace. First Peter chapter 2, verse 9. He says, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, of His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. God has chosen you to show His goodness in. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, he says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made you free. Listen, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I know Satan's going to tell you some things. Satan's going to say, it's okay to flirt. It's all right to look at the menu, you just better not order. I heard that when I was 9 years old, and I thought, that's the sickest thing I think I've ever heard. Yeah. Let me tell you, you're flirting with sin when you're flirting. It all starts here. Adultery don't start in a bed. It starts right here. When you start pulling clothes off of somebody mentally. When you are moved and manipulated by telling somebody that something you don't even believe, but you know she's going to like it if you tell her this. Oh my, you look awfully pretty today. I don't think I've ever seen anyone's eyes radiate such beauty. Boy, I'm talking like I really know. My wife's going, I heard all this earlier. Joey was telling me this now. May not be. That may not be your draw. Maybe your draw is to, you know what? This place would never notice if they were missing a little bit of money. They are so frivolous with their money. They spend thousands of dollars on anything. They're not going to miss a little bit. Satan begins to tell you how you can do it. I'm going to tell you, Satan's the mastermind. He can tell you how to steal. He not only wants to steal from you, he wants to make you a thief. And then the very one that tells you you can do this without being caught is the one that exposes you. I would love to know today how many people that have been in real pain that got hooked on pain medicine. And we can look at that and we can say it's to no fault of their own. Yes, it is. I'm sorry. See, as long as you feel like you're a victim, you're not going to address the problem. There's at some point in your life when you knew that you're abusing this. And that's when you need to stop. And I believe the Lord is, I didn't know what I was going to preach this week. But when I read that three or four words, He has delivered us by the word of truth. I thought, Christians need to hear that we don't have to put up with this nonsense. I don't believe it's the Lord's will to hold you captive by your sin. I believe that He is big enough to set you free. Whatever that is that holds you back. But until you acknowledge, I've had a part in this, you're never going to address it. We're way too ready to cast all the blame on someone else. You've got to say, it's my fault. I bit. I did it. And I need a deliverance. You know, I can look in the mirror and I can blame a lot of things. But at the end of the day, I look like this because I did it. I have a choice. There are people that every time they get a day off, all they think about is going to the mall, getting on Amazon. Oh, I got to shop. I got to look for something new. You're addicted, my friend. I didn't think that'd get a whole lot of amens. Pastor, keep talking about adultery. Keep talking about drug abuse. When I was a kid, we preached smokers into hell. I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. I don't believe it's any worse than overeating. But it's going to kill you. We know that, right? I mean, we just know that. And for those of you that don't smoke, you replace smoking with dipping. Oh, that's a whole lot better. Yeah, now you get throat cancer and tongue cancer and face cancer. How about if we just say, you know what? I believe God can deliver me. It's going to take a little effort. I'm not preaching you to hell. I'm just saying God's got a better way. Why should we tolerate sin? Why should we tolerate addictions? I don't care what you're addicted to. I just know He's greater. He's better. He's bigger. But as long as you're willing to tolerate it, it will stay and it will get bigger in your life. Because sin never diminishes on its own. It only gets greater. It only occupies more of your thoughts. If you have to turn to a bottle when you get up in the morning, you've got a problem. That's good preaching, Pastor Kelleher. I bet they don't hear that in very many churches in Paris. It's the truth you do that will set you free. I don't want to be controlled by alcohol. I don't want to be controlled by sex. I don't want to be controlled by pornography. Oh, we hadn't touched on that one yet, have we? Oh, this little computer that we all have in our pockets. You can pull up the most vile filth in the world. And if you don't think your kids are doing it, if your kids have got you convinced that you're getting into their privacy, I'd say, I absolutely am, baby. As long as you live in my household. When did we ever forget those words? Right. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, when I grew up, I heard those words all the time. As long as your feet are under my table, eating the food that I bring home, you will do what I tell you to do. And my mama had a way of enforcing it. We just don't believe that anymore. Because we're smarter than the Word of God. Oh, we don't believe we're supposed to spank anymore. Yeah, the Bible says the rod of correction drives the foolishness from the child. Are you smarter than the Word? I tell that to my children all the time. They're smart kids. Sometimes we can be so smart we're fools. I believe the Word of God. I believe it's the truth. I believe it has the power to set me free. I believe it has the power to save me. I believe it has the power to break every curse that's over my life. And I do believe that there are curses that are in family trees. I believe that the world says you're predisposed to do this. I got news for you. Call it what you will. You got a family curse operating in your household. Why do drug users produce drug users? Alcoholics produce alcoholics. Sexual deviants produce sexual deviants. It's going down. It's going down the family tree. By all statistics, I should be an alcoholic. I should be an adulterer. I ought to have many children that I don't even know. Should have been married several times by now. I'm so thankful that I know the one that breaks the curse. The Bible says that the blessing of God goes down 1,000 generations. The curse goes down 3, and He breaks the curse. I never expect my children to go through a divorce. I never expect my children to be adulterers. Because I believe the curse has been broken. They still have a free will. But I believe they're not going to be influenced by that curse. Husbands, I believe that's your duty. Break the curse in your family. Break the curse. How do we do that? Of His Word. The Word of truth. He has delivered us. You see, you get saved because you read the Word. Some preacher preaches it, or a friend comes to you and says, guess what? All of us have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And sin brings forth death. But God demonstrated His love in this, that He died for us when we were yet enemies. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would have everlasting life. Are you getting this? You get saved because someone planted the Word of God in you. It's the foundation of who we are. And you said, I believe that. Rayburn, 76 years old. Now, 77, 76 a couple of months ago. One day, I'm just in my office. I don't even think I'm in my office. I think I'm coming from my house. And the Lord speaks to me. I've talked to Rayburn many times. Larry Woodard and Ruth have talked to his wife and shared the gospel with him many times. And the Lord drops this word in my heart. He says, "Go, you go tell Rayburn that it's his turn." I went over to his house. We talked for a few minutes. I almost backed out several times. Thought I had to deliver a word like that. I said, "Rayburn, God told me something to tell you." And he said, "What's that?" I said, "He said, it's your turn." I said, in my mind, I saw two guys playing checkers. God's made His move. And He said, "I'm not moving again. It's your turn." I said, "Rayburn, what are you going to do? Are you ready to pray?" Big tears filled his eyes. I've talked to him for 7 years. Others have talked to him for probably 30 or 40. And all of a sudden he said, "I'm ready. I'm ready." And I want you to know, in an instant, 2 Corinthians 5:17 comes into action. He asked Jesus to forgive him and to come into his heart. And that man was made a new creation in Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when you spend some time with Him now, you can honestly say, that's not the same guy. And what He did for a 76-year-old man, He will do for you. But it doesn't stop at salvation. It continues on. The same method that you received Christ as your Savior, you heard the Word, you believed, and you acted upon it, is the same way you get deliverance. You hear the Word of truth that says, "I don't have to have this nonsense." And you accept it as the Word of God. and you act upon it. God, I'm asking you today to break the chains of sin on my life. I have done some wicked things, God. And I have opened the door to the devil in many areas of my heart and mind. God, close that door! I was 12 years old when I found the first dirty magazine. I am 57 years old. 45 years later, I can recall the pictures in that magazine. And I have a hard time memorizing the Word of God today. You tell me that's not wicked. You tell me there's not something spiritual about that. I pray, God, wipe those things from my memory. You need a clean slate today? Are there some things in your life that you'd like to say, God, this needs to be gone? He will take that and He will build that into a pulpit for you so that the thing that held you captive, you will now stand on. And you'll be a first fruit of telling others, I used to do drugs. I was this way. I used to beat my kids. I used to run around on my wife. I used to steal from my work. Whatever it is for you, God wants to build a platform. He wants to make you an example. But you have got to humble yourself. You have got to say, I've got a problem. I did it. I bit. When I was enticed, I bit. And Satan got a hook in my lip. And he has been reeling me in for the last 30 years. And I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. Stand with me. The last verse I wanted to tell you, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8, 9. And this is specifically talking about Lot. And he says, for the righteous man dwelling among them, dwelling in Sodom and Gomorrah, was tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust after punishment for the day of judgment. I got news for you. The Lord knows how to deliver you from whatever is holding you back, whether it's cigarettes or a perverted mind, God can deliver you. You know, I know people that were saved later on in life. And when I'm here today, he's told me many times, he had a perverted mouth, talked filthy, and God delivered him. Is there anything more powerful than the tongue? It's a small member, but it certainly wants to control us. I wrote some things down. Today is the day of deliverance. Smoking, alcohol abuse, drug addiction, anger or rage, overeating, shopping, lust, pornography. And the list can go on and on and on. Are you ready to be delivered? You know, poverty is a curse. I believe God can break it. I want so bad to see you go free. I'm going to ask you if there's something in your life that you need to be set free from. Would you step out of your chair and come and line up here? And if you're not saved and you want to be saved, you want Jesus to set you free from your sin, to cleanse your heart, would you please just stand right in front of me as we sing this song?